You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And as we always like to point out, our audience out there.
Bob, I have some questions about gold today.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. It's roughly around $5,200 U.S. per ounce. Now, for people who are still interested in it, has it peaked out as physical gold? And would you be better off, if you still wanted to make money in gold, investing in a junior or mid-cap gold company? Because if they're mining it, they're still going to be making money, even if the price per brick comes down, even by a few thousand dollars.
Most of the people commenting on gold always focus on gold in U.S. dollars. And you got a gold quote, and it's come a long way from a long time ago. But what does it tell you? It tells you what the U.S. dollar price is. But if the mining companies, if their costs are going up relative to the quoted price of gold, they're not making money. So we use the CRB, Commodity Research Bureau, Commodity Index. And I think there's about 27 items in it, and it is a reasonable proxy for mining costs. So we take the gold price and divide it by the CRB, and guess what? It has been doing very well, and then it reached kind of an overbought high recently, as has gold, as has silver. So they're set up for a little pause, a little, you know, I use the term consolidation. And, it's early stages, Jim, in a multi-decade move for gold, where great financial bubbles typically are followed by great depressions. I'm not afraid of using the term. And in a Great Depression, of course, most industry, commerce, and trade does poorly. But with the gold's real price going up, it makes the climate for gold mining very good. The gold miners, profitability is increasing. And this is the way Mother Nature seems to work it, because you have an insane bubble in debt instruments. Most of people talk about stocks in a bubble, but the debt gets bubbled as well, and then that then leaves a huge, terrible mess that it takes a long time to liquefy all the problems and sort it out. But in the meantime, the real world needs a liquidity, and that's where gold's real price goes up. And the miners produce more gold because they're making money at it. And that's the way it works. So we are, as I said, Jim, just early stages of a long period for gold to be outperforming the costs of mining, and that means that the gold miners would be making money. And this is what happened in the 1930s. Gold miners, wherever they were doing well. Now, within an environment with the industry, like basic gold side doing good, we like the juniors. And we've been running a list of juniors, and when they get moving, they can outperform the seniors. And then if you're really fortunate, you may be in a junior that makes a discovery. And one of those was in 1996, we put together, we were looking like it was going to be an exploration market, and put together a list of five stocks. And one of them was Poseidon, and it went from literally pennies to $30. The market cap was around $1 billion when it was taken over by Barrick. So you can see the wisdom in owning a little suite of junior golds, of which we keep a list. And if anybody in our listening audience is interested, they can just get in touch with you or myself, Bob Hoy at Shaw.ca, and we would be pleased to send out the list.
Wow, Bob, that is helpful.
Yeah, I'm telling you, well, I got worked my way through geology with summer jobs, working with a consulting geologist. And the work we had was with juniors, looking at prospects, and that was in British Columbia, Yukon, and Northwest Territories. And then I graduated, and then came winter, and I got a job with Western Mines in the middle of Vancouver Island. And I'm pleased to say that mine, Western Mines, is still operating after all of these decades. So when you make a good discovery, it is, of course, instantly profitable for shareholders. And then it can be a boon to the community so long as the mine is operating. So yeah, we like juniors, and as I say, we've got the list.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye. The first one is from Facebook. The percentage of Canadians who see the U.S. as a top threat triples.
Yeah. Oh, they've in central Canada, and it is the downtown region for Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa. And these people, well, they won the election. The last federal election was won on being anti-Trump. Oh, my God, it has nothing to do with the competence with which the economy, the government is managed. It was the buzz phrase, and so, but fortunately, the government, they didn't get a majority, and we'll just see what happens there. But if we go in, we've got all of the recipe for, it's a straight-up market. We've got charts showing the excesses being accomplished in momentum and stuff like that, and then also you got a chart showing the participation of the retail investor. And the retail investor is very excited about the stock market. And I'd point out that, not unkindly, but it's just a fact of life, that the retail investor at an important bottom is not interested in the stock market. They celebrate the exciting stuff. So the stock market, the great financial bubble, is in a state of ecstasy, and it's unsustainable, and when it falters, it would mark the end of this great financial bubble. And the amazing thing, this is number six. Number five was 1929. Number four was 1873. So they have much in common. And so you know the path. And so anyways, when this great financial bubble falters, it will be a mighty crash, and it'll lead probably to another Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And of course, as the theme is, Jim, this is going to be very good for gold miners, but their stocks, the gold mining stocks, will be vulnerable. If you get a major hit to New York stocks, it's going to take the gold stocks down with it. And but that's just the way it is. But net over a period of time, the gold and the gold stocks will way outperform the S&P. So it'll you know, it's like any market, you get overbought in the near term and then oversold. So, but the sector is going to be quite likely very good to be in when the alternatives are in a post-bubble depression. So, yeah.
Headline from Canada Free Press: the human-caused climate change scam horse is dead.
Yeah. Yeah, that one has been running for about 30 years. And the, you know, particularly Al Gore, he got a Nobel Prize for peace on his work on the fraud of man-caused global warming. So anyways, this is now becoming better understood. Well, it was always well understood that it was orbital mechanics and the sun that forces the climate change. And now the old story is now lost its clout, and people are beginning to be open-minded about what really drives climate, and that is orbital mechanics and the output from the sun, how far away we are from it. And carbon dioxide has got nothing to do with it. Oh, about, you know, over the, you get a chart of the last million years, and there are times when atmospheric concentration of CO2 was up to 7,000 parts per million, and we are at around 425, and below 150, life on Earth would start to shut down. So the real reality on CO2 is that we are low, historically low, and down around 150, life ends on this planet.
Volcanic eruptions also a major factor.
Oh, sure.
In climate. Yeah. And like I said, how do carbon taxes control solar activity, the Earth's orbit, or volcanoes?
You got it right. Yeah.
It's just another way to collect
tax
money.
One big volcano can ruin your whole day.
or your whole millennia.
You know, there are places, Mount Mazama blew up, at, you know, Crater Lake in Oregon. That's not an impact crater. That thing was left after a huge, huge blow-up. And east of there, there are parts where the volcanic ash is 15 feet deep. And when it turns to rock, hey, this is the old geologist coming back. It's called tuff, T-U-F-F, which is old volcanic ash debris turned to rock.
And the super volcano centered around Yellowstone Park, the caldera. The crater is actually 250 miles across in kilometers. I guess that's about 400 kilometers across. That caused one of the great extinctions, wiping out 99% of the life on the surface of the Earth.
That that area is got a very interesting geology, as does just south of us here in the state of Washington. There's a geologist that I that presents very well on little videos, and that Washington Plateau is about 5 miles deep of sandstone from alluvial, you know, rains and floods and stuff, taking stuff off the mountains and depositing it in low places, which Washington Plateau is very interesting for that deep deposit of sandstone, but also it had got the floods, the Brett floods, where you had an ice dam let go, and the ice dam was damming things up into British Columbia, and then in the valley the depth might get to 3,000 feet, and the ice dam would lose its integrity, and whoosh. So imagine where Spokane is, and a 500-foot high wall of water coming along, churning around with trees and great chunks of ice and boulders and everything else on its way to the coast at near where Oregon is, Portland is. So the Washington State geologically has a very interesting history.
Let's see here. Next headline from the Wall Street Journal. Detroit automakers take $50 billion hit as EV bubble bursts.
Oh, yeah. I like that one, because at the start of electronic vehicles, you just looked at them and you knew it was a great promotion by governments, and it became a fad. And because it didn't put out evil emissions from the tailpipe. But God, just to assemble the rare earths and everything else that go into making the batteries is an assault on the environment, just the mining of them. And then what do you do with them when they're over? You've got to somehow put them away. And then the other thing that has been a tragedy is that they self-ignite. They just, the lithium batteries are very active and they blow up. So, and also burn. My God, they can burn for days. And I read one about they poured, you know, maybe two or three swimming pools worth of water on it, and then hauled it off to a wreckage yard, and a few days later it ignited all on its own again. So the electric vehicle is an insult to the environment in making it, and it is an insult to the environment when they blow up, and then when you try and dispose of what's left over. And my friend of mine is a very astute engineer, and he says the equation is, how much energy do you get out of the energy you put in? And these things, you have to. It takes more energy to build them than with batteries. It takes more energy to build them than you can possibly get out of them. So, yeah, interesting.
And our
crazy fad.
Yeah, our last headline here from Zero Hedge: Lamborghini EV Lanzador bites the dust as electrified supercar demand hits close to zero. This was a car that an electric car that would have cost you between $300,000 and $500,000 US.
Yeah. Now this Lamborghini, not widely known, that the Lamborghini company started making tractors in Italy.
Mm. Were they fast? Were they fast?
The man Lamborghini made some money, and he wanted to buy a special Ferrari. And Ferrari wouldn't sell it to him. So he then said, now I'm going to make high-end sports cars. So that's how a tractor maker ended up making high-end sports cars.
Yeah, but you should have seen those tractors go around a corner, Bob. They were fast.
You're telling me they had lots of traction?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, they could plow around a corner, too. Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we had some fun today and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask those questions for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.